Good morning. I bet Kenny is really relaxing and enjoying his sabbatical, his time away. He deserves it. I remember years ago, Tony and I, my wife, would go to Hendersonville, Canoga. And when we arrived in the summer to take a rest, for the first 2 days, I would do nothing but sleep and eat. Ministry can be an exhausting, draining venture. It's interesting that Kenny so loves this place, he instructed Jack, as he was leaving, not to find good replacement preachers while he was absent on sabbatical. Shortly thereafter, Jack called me. We all make mistakes. From the first time since seminary, I wrote out the sermon. Why, twice during my teaching Sunday school last week, I totally forgot where I was. My mind went blank. So pray for me this morning for memory and an aching body because I went to Aqua Zumba at the new YMCA. That is a beautiful facility. What a blessing it is to the community. If you want to discuss the future or any aspect of the message this morning, call Katie in our office and set up an appointment with Kenny or myself. I especially want to welcome this morning doubters and drifters. You may have wrestled with who Jesus was and is, but are filled with doubt. Or you may have had a personal, vibrant relationship with Christ, but have drifted away gradually. As background, I was raised an atheist and continued as such into my early 30s. So for those who are amongst the doubters and the drifters here, know that I've been there, done that. Many of you have encountered individuals who may have had profound influence on our lives. For me, this was Mrs. Ballard, who I met through her daughter, Brownie, in the 11th grade. Not ever having dated, her mother, a brilliant, eccentric individual, decided that I could be groomed as her suitor, however unpolished, motorcycle and all. So I was invited to join their entourage to plays and concerts. After each, we discussed and debated a supposed God who allowed bad things to happen to good people. One evening, she loaned me a book written by the Russian author Dostoevsky. Up to that point, my high school book reports came from the reading only the jackets, with the exception of Big Mutt, a dog story. The book she loaned me was titled The Idiot. That's what I felt like. I could only understand about every other word in the book. It's a classic. It's steeped in arguments for and against there being a God, coupled with the misery of mankind. My grooming continued until, having pulled many strings, her brother, who was in admissions, got me into Swanee, allegedly the Oxford of America, near Chattanooga. Last week, I got a call from Dr. Powell, a fellow SAE at Swanee, inviting me to the 50th anniversary of our being in the fraternity. 50 years. That's a long time for a lot of you. It sure is for me. I couldn't believe it. A flood of memories came back with what was aptly called Hell Week. We had to wear, I won't even tell you what we had to do. And we referred to those as the good old days. But a seed of healthy inquisitiveness nourished me while at Swanee, which was an all-boys school. Coat and tie was mandatory. Chapel was required 3 times a week. And 3 years of a language supposedly made us fluent by graduation. Instead of following the prayer book in chapel, I usually slipped a copy of Playboy in my book bag. Here was a philosophy and a skewed theology a young man could live by. As blind luck would have it, I flunked German, French, and Spanish by the end of my second year. And I learned that I had a disability in languages, and it carried over even into music. I had 3 guitar teachers quit on me. So I had to transfer to the University of Florida, where they had no language requirement, many girls, and a great football team, the Gators, with Steve Spurrier as the quarterback. Of course, while at Swanee, that did begin to open my spiritual eyes, especially a class called Comparative Religion. How could so many in the world follow such varying faiths, and who was this Jesus? I have a disclosure to make that much of what's going to follow came from the writings and the sermons of Dr. Reverend Terry Fulham. And Dr. Fulham had a tremendous impact on me. And he literally taught tens of thousands of people all over the world the Bible, the greatest Bible teacher I have ever heard. He not only taught worldwide, but was flown into D.C., Washington, D.C., almost weekly for a large Bible study with our nation's most powerful, congressmen, senators, you name it. They came to this very large Bible study to listen to Dr. Fulham. Subsequently, years later, Reverend Fulham had a falling out with the Episcopal Church as to the authority of Scripture, which led to our having a parting of the ways from that denomination. Let us pray. Lord, you promised to reveal your truth by the illumination of your Holy Spirit. Envelop us now in your life-giving Spirit. Help us to drop all barriers, including prejudices, preconceived notions, pridefulness, self-centeredness that inhibit us from being transformed and renewed this very morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but as an Episcopal priest, I've been at a number of churches and was somewhat offended on occasion by those who took a preoccupation with what they were wearing. You know, we get all dolled up and wear layer after layer of clothing. And I found it sometimes offensive. Well, one time when I was at Resurrection, where I helped start the church and served there for 10 years, my wife insisted that I wear this white cassock, a cassock alb, which basically had lace around the sleeves, lace at the bottom all the way to the floor, and she thought it was beautiful. And I started walking down the aisle wearing this fantastic cassock alb, and every eye turned to me. It turned out that not only was I handsome, but I had tucked the back of it into my belt. It's embarrassing, but it's true. Getting to the heart of this morning's message. To be politically correct, I'm asking you this, don't all major religions teach similarly as we worship the same God? I think not. But there are many who believe that's true. Today, followers of the Christian faith comprise approximately 32% of the world population. Islam or Muslims, 23%. Hindus, 15%. Buddhists, 7%. Hypothetically, though, if the followers of Hinduism and Buddhism discovered their leaders never existed, the faith and practices would continue uninterrupted. Importantly, their customs and beliefs are not contingent upon the leaders as individuals, but on their writings. But what you might ask about Islam, which we're all talking about on many occasions. It's the second largest religion in the world. It was found about 600 years after the birth of Jesus. There is one supreme being, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. According to their tradition, the angel Gabriel authored the Quran, their most sacred writing. Now, Muhammad married well to an older woman with a very successful caravan business. On occasion, he had what some would liken to an epileptic seizure. Feeling he was going crazy, he shared the most recent occurrence with his wife. She assured him that the angel Gabriel was speaking through him. She ordered scribes to write down everything he said, as it was from Allah. In the Quran, Jesus is referenced 99 times and is considered a great prophet. However, instead of dying on the cross, he, or a stand-in, was made to look dead, taken down from the cross, and Jesus was ushered into paradise immediately. Very different belief than what we have as Christians. Muhammad was illiterate, never claimed to be God or a savior, nor even a miracle worker. His alleged words from the angel Gabriel were taken down by scribes. Going to paradise was and is dependent upon one's works, which were to be weighed. Upon his deathbed, he was asked, was he going to paradise? He said essentially, we shall see. Allah would weigh all and determine the outcome. Jesus was, and shockingly is, different from all other founding heads of major faiths. What he said about himself and what witnesses testified to him puts him in a category alone, unique, and some would say made him even scandalous. His teachings were often an extension of the Old Testament, except he fulfilled them in many ways, which no other religious leader had done. The opening sentences of the Old Testament read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the New Testament from the Gospel of John, we hear echoes of Jesus. So let's replace the word with Jesus to better understand the relationship. Most people don't understand that that famous beginning to John is all about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word Jesus was with God. And the Word Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of mankind. The Word, Jesus, became flesh, which is the incarnation we celebrate at Christmas. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus told doubting Thomas, a disciple, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I was in existence before Abraham, even before Moses." He went on and said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Yet Moses lived over 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And Moses talks about the burning bush that occurred to him in a vision in the desert. And an angel of the Lord spoke to him through the burning bush. And that reminds me of a story from resurrection. It was Christmas Eve. The church had candles everywhere. Greenery hung from the ceiling. It was magnificent. It was beautiful beyond belief. And all of a sudden, off to my right, I saw fire. I looked over, and there was a very attractive African-American girl from college whose hair had caught on fire with the candles. Me being somewhat impulsive, yelled out, "She's on fire for the Lord!" People kind of chuckled, grimaced, And then they put out the fire. They never came back again, which I understand. That was supposed to be a joke. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Here was the incarnation that we celebrate Christmas. God spoke no longer through the prophets, but in person amongst us. He humbled himself, limiting his power. Dr. Terry Fulham, who I spoke earlier about, said that's the equivalent of we becoming cockroaches in order to communicate with other cockroaches, because God is so incredibly more magnificent, more powerful than any of us even can begin to imagine.
Amen.
Imagine. And from John chapter 14, we read, Was he who he said he was? Some came to him asking to see the Father, and they would believe. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You will not find any other parallel in any religious denomination anywhere in the world. Clearly, Jesus was speaking about himself being God incarnate. I am in the Father is in me. There is clearly not the, this is not clearly the logic of mankind. He goes on and says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. How so very true. I think often we want to put Jesus in a box, basically reduce him to our own thinking patterns, our own customs, our own traditions, and yet he defies that box. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. It goes on and says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. In everything he might have supremacy. Not so for other historical religious founders or leaders. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, Jesus. He is so much more than a great teacher, but Lord of all. In our home, Tony sewed a beautiful banner in velvet, and it's about 4 feet tall, and it says, Jesus is Lord, and that says it all. He is the Lord of all aspects of our life. Let us pray. And you may repeat after me in silence or out loud. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. As Jesus is not exalted above all, in this church nor in our lives, too often I have limited you, seeking my will and not yours. I have forgotten what you have done for us and what our response is to be. And Lord, for those who are drifting, I'm tired of drifting. And of my marriage drifting, having broken away from its moorings, I ask you this morning that you begin to restore that marriage, restore the relationships that I have broken. Give me a new and fresh heart for you. Give me a thirst that only you can quench. And I say this in the name of the Father and of the Son. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Or you want to make a confession? I'm going to be sitting in the front here, and silently you can come up and we can pray in confidence and ask Christ into your life to renew you, to strengthen you, to in fact strengthen your marriage. If you want a blessing on your marriage, then come with your spouse as well, and I'll lay hands on you and we'll pray that that relationship might be restored. Amen.